Hey, it's Kristen. This is Rational in Portland. Hey, it's Kristen. You're listening to Rational in Portland. Thanks for joining us. This is the election episode, and obviously, I really screwed it up. Like, for those of you who follow on Twitter at Rational in, or I guess we're supposed to call it X, I'm at Rational in PDX. That's really my only social media. I just don't have the bandwidth for, or the stomach, honestly, for anything else. And that's a big one to do. I know it's a weird one to pick, but it's where all the journalists are, and it's where I've met so many of you. So it's been a relatively positive place for me. But, you know, anyway, I totally get it if you don't want to follow along on there. But as I said on there, there was an episode that I completely screwed the audio up on. And anybody who's been listening to this show for any modicum of time knows I'm not skilled in that area. Andy Chandler from the show Northwest Fresh, which is on YouTube, on Spotify, and he's an AV guy. That's his, literally how he makes his living, and he's worked in news media for a long time, and great camera guy, great audio guy, and he helped me retrieve, like, most of it, actually a relatively large amount of it, so it's on here. It is on here. It doesn't sound great. It doesn't even sound as good as things normally, you know, not great. On here. Doesn't sound fantastic, but it is on here. And he had to do a fair amount of work to get it where it needed to be. But here's the thing. I'm just going to say up front, what matters in this election, number one, is, in my opinion, the DA's race. And if you're listening to this show to get any kind of information, you want to turn your ballot in at the last minute, what have you, I would say, and this is what I say in response to the messages, vote for Nathan Vasquez. District attorney is a, in my opinion, a different ballgame. Now, in regard to county, I would just go along with the email that Multnomah County Commissioner, who's not up again, Vadim Mazursky, is running for her seat. Multnomah County Commissioner Sharon Myron emailed out her picks, and they're spot on. It's Jesse Burke, Julia Brim Edwards, Vadim Mazursky, Vince Jones Dixon. That's for county. Now, chair isn't up again. And if you go back and listen to Vadim's episode, he has arguments for why chair doesn't really matter. And he's read the charter and he thinks he can make some headway there. And look, if we can reelect Julia Brim Edwards, which I think we can do, and then if we've got two more, we really just need two more reasonable, rational people on the Multnomah County Commission. They can put a fair amount of pressure on the chair, and there's a lot they can do. A dream would be all four of these people, Julia reelected and then the three others. In regard to state rep, it's Peter Grabiel, and he's been on this podcast. You can go back and listen to his episode. Our state legislature, in my opinion, And when DA Kevin Barton, the district attorney from Washington County, came on here, as he pointed out, we have plenty of great state legislators. In my opinion, on the whole, the legislature is crazy. I mean, in my opinion, the state legislature is relatively, I would say, very out of touch with what's going on with their average constituent and downtown and the state. Really the majority of people in the state, most of whom just happen to reside in Portland because it's the only big city we really have and the most populous place. And certainly in the metro area, just out of touch with what's going on there. Pete Grabiel is not. He gets it. He works downtown. He lives in the city of Portland, and you know, he's got stories on his episode about coaching his daughter's soccer game and these children literally having to leap over people lying in the gutters because we can't seem to manage to get our heads screwed on straight and start using actual compassion, which is not leaving them where they're at or even quote unquote meeting them where they're at, but giving them a hand up. So I would say those are the important ones. The rest is, you know, we'll get into the rest if you've got the ear for it. I have some good clips of Amanda, a little bit of commentary by me, but it's mostly her talking about the DA's race and talking about the ballot measures. We were a no on all the ballot measures, and we go into that in regard to, there are a couple controversial ones. She talks about some of them. I just want to briefly touch on Portland Public Schools measure. And that one's difficult and that one's controversial. But here's what I'm confused about. And I just haven't gotten help for it yet. No, nobody's convinced me otherwise. Title I schools, they obviously get federal dollars. And it doesn't matter in this state. As a whole, they continue to fail and fail and fail. They're the poorest ones. The Title I schools that are doing better than the others, it's usually David Douglas, I think, they're not necessarily getting more money. And until the school board killed it, we had an all, quote unquote, all hands raised where 40% of the public school funds went to the poor schools, but it never mattered. They continued to produce bad outcomes, no matter how much money. Some were like Chapman Elementary, a much more well-heeled, I'd say just very well-heeled elementary raises at their auction. I really like Glenn Lowry, the Black MIT-educated economist who's a professor of economics at Brown and has a podcast called The Glenn Show. He has had Robert Woodson on a number of times, and Woodson set up a school that allows Black children to succeed regardless of income, and Woodson says money doesn't matter. Oregon doesn't have the lowest expenditures per pupil, so if money matters so much, I don't understand why we're doing so poorly, like why we've always done just right above Mississippi in relatively recent years, like even before 2020, though. So my understanding is that Oregon school funding is screwed up because of PERS, and it will be screwed up until the beneficiaries of like tier one recipients die out, particularly the ones from OHSU and the football coaches from OSU and U of O. That was a New York Times story from April 14th, 2018. We were on the front page, but I'm just not convinced that school funding beyond some base level actually matters. And if that were the solution, we'd have figured it out pretty quickly and solved public education by now. Also, Kim McGare pointed this out to me on Twitter, and I'll link to the budget in the show notes, but Portland Public Schools' highest spending is in North Portland. It's right on PPS's website. The outcomes aren't good. They're not, I mean, as you can imagine, they're not any better. I mean, the students that are doing well with a bunch of money, they're Access Academy. That's talented and gifted kids. It's really depressing because, listen, if we could just pour money into this and fix it, we would all do it. We would be, you know, we've been doing it. We've literally been doing it, and we can't manage to fix it. I mean, what did the New York Times say? The only state where math scores keep falling? Anyway, so we were a no. Amanda and I were a no on the ballot measures, and I've got clips from a couple of them. But that's my, anyway, take on the school stuff. And if anybody has any data otherwise, I'm thrilled to look at it, but I'll go ahead and link to that budget piece that I was talking about. And it's, if you want to take a look at it, it's page 202. So if you click on the link, you just want to go to page 202 of the Portland Public Schools budget. Thank you for listening this far. I'll play the clips, which are going to sound pretty good. And then I'll just go ahead and let the episode play, which is only going to sound halfway decent because of Andy Chandler from Northwest Fresh. So thank you, Andy. Thank you, Amanda. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please vote. Please vote. Please vote. Please vote. Tuesday is the last day. Don't listen to Disability Rights Oregon. They posted something on Twitter saying Monday is the last day. It's, I don't know what was up with that. It's Tuesday. Tuesday's the last day. So come on, let's get our ballots in.
If you think that our laws not being enforced is a real problem, then vote for Nathan Vasquez. Nathan is a career prosecutor in the district attorney's office. He has the support overwhelmingly in his office. He has the support overwhelmingly of people who have their heads screwed on straight. And
he actually got the district attorneys, I think they have a union, and they all went behind him. They backed him. Like, they didn't back their boss.
Yeah. And Can you imagine? The Oregonian, Willamette
Week. The Oregonian.
I know.
And it was a scathing article for Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, the Oregonian endorsed him. Willamette Week endorsed Nathan. And when the Oregonian endorses somebody like Nathan Vasquez, I think it's time to sit up and pay attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he's really supported by a lot of downtown business people who have just given their own money. And that says a lot. I mean, Schmidt has, if you talk to anybody in that office, it is a miserable working environment under him. Just terrible.
Well, and female after female
has left, and half of them really being very loud about how unfair they think it is. And Nathan has just really gotten the support of that office. The other thing, you and I both have a lot of connections with the police department, and what I'm hearing is that if Schmidt were to win, that we are likely to see more transfers and retirements out of the police department because they feel so completely unsupported. And if you did your job every day and at the end of the day somebody just flushed the work you had done down the toilet, you would feel that way too. And I think it's really important that if we're going to have any semblance of law and order in this community, we're going to have a stronger relationship between the district attorney, whose job is to prosecute crimes, and the police, whose job it is to arrest people for crimes. And so when an arrest is made by a police officer, then nothing automatically happens. It then goes to the district attorney's office to evaluate, what do we do with this? Do we prosecute this? What do we do in terms of locking this person up or releasing them right away? Those are all decisions made in the district attorney's office. And the DA's office has become very isolated under Schmidt, and it's really important that the DA have good relationships with the cops, with all the other elements of the system. And that's what, I get that Mike Schmidt doesn't like incarceration, but what he hadn't done is work tirelessly to build other systems that might take on these people. And it's really discouraging, just his total lack of mojo on any front. And if we're going to have put this city back together, we've got to be all in for Nathan Vasquez. And this is not a super well-funded guy. So I think we need to, I mean, this guy ran for this job, not because he wants to be a police officer, but because he felt like someone had to do it. I mean, and to me, it's just,
victims are important to him.
Victims are incredibly important.
Go back and listen to his episode. He talks very specifically about how the very favorite part of his job is serving crime victims whose lives have been ruined, and how getting somebody really incapacitated so that they're not going to do that to anybody else is really important. And we're not doing that under Mike Schmidt.
I've also been really offended by the flyers that I've gotten from Schmidt saying, critiquing Nathan Vasquez for not voting in prior presidential elections and saying that him not voting was the equivalent of voting for Trump. It's like, do you realize that Oregon's about it? Not voting is a vote for Biden.
Right.
If Nathan was some ideologue who was this MAGA guy, as Schmidt wants to make him out to be, he would be voting, and he would presumably be voting for Trump. But he is de facto voting for whoever the Democratic candidate is. And what that tells me, his not voting, is that, you know, in several years, he was probably happy with the status quo, and he's not an ideologue, and he's just happy for things to go along. It's incompatible with the picture that Mike Schmidt wants to paint of him, and it just seems so incredibly dishonest. And Schmidt's now characterizing himself as somebody who was supportive of the rollback of an amendment of Measure 110. That is just a crock. it's so dishonest. I mean, I just want to say, Mike Schmidt, you're going to go to hell for all this lying you're doing. It's really bad. So then the city of Portland measures.
It's a lot of money.
They want more money.
They want more money. It's a lot of money going out the door.
I am.
Potentially. I hope not.
And the one that is most triggering to me is they want to renew this 4-year 10-cent per gallon fuel tax for maintenance and safety. That's measure 26-245. What are you doing with the money, and why do you keep putting plastic sticks all over the city?
Yeah, there's plastic tubes everywhere.
Everywhere. Why not fill potholes instead?
People are characterizing this measure as a pothole measure.
I just defy, what are we, what is it going to be? It's going to be Bangladesh before all is said and done. It is absurd. It is absurd the way, like, road maintenance is one of the fundamental jobs of government.
And they're already doing it. So we know they're not doing it.
Right.
They're already collecting the money.
Right. And also, I see them filling it. You have to keep calling and calling and calling the pothole line. But the it's just maddening to me. To me, it's like a stick up. It's like a hold up. And I'm not playing their game. Like, let's figure out another way to do it. How about we sell all the plastic sticks all over the road, gather some money together, and put it into a pothole fund? Like that. Like, it just is absurd. And I cannot play this game anymore. And I think we've got to say no. And I think we've got to send a very strong message to leaders that we are done giving them. They have enough money. We are taxed out the wazoo for the crappiest services in the nation.
I mean, for $150,000 for individuals, $250,000 for married couples, we are the highest taxed place in the country. Our tax rate, as Anthony Effinger noted in the article they left, it's at the same tax rate for New Yorkers making $25 million or more. Wrap your mind around that.
It's really incredible.
For what? Like, at least Taylor Swift goes there.
Right.
When
you're there, you see cops everywhere, and that city is functional. With having, all these migrants dumped on them, that city is still shockingly functional compared to us. And so I don't buy it, and I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm not giving you extra money. The next one's a tough one, and this is sort of like, I feel like they put some little fuzzy animal in front of us and say under measure
26-244,
bonds to protect animal health.
And you
this
love
is
all
money
animals,
for the zoo.
Not just domestic ones.
Right. Should the zoo protect animal health? I'm a hard no on that one.
Oh, I mean, that says it all.
So, exactly. And to me, why does Metro have the zoo in its portfolio? Why isn't this spun off onto some nonprofit? I mean, they've done this in other cities.
Why does Metro exist?
In Atlanta, the zoo was an absolute toilet. They spun it off into a nonprofit. It was run by the city, spun it off into a nonprofit. Now it is this thriving center that can get corporate donations and all this stuff.
I don't love nonprofits, but that's something like the Humane Society or the type of nonprofit like the Sunshine Division that I could get behind.
Nonprofits, when they work,
They
do
right.
a lot with a little.
And if it was just dedicated to the zoo, we'd know where it was all going.
Exactly.
And I bet they'd give us a budget.
And what does this provide?
And we don't get budgets from these people.
Totally.
All this money just disappears, and we don't know why they don't have any.
And so I don't think we should up property taxes do some bond for the zoo. No. I think what they should
do anything.
Is I really would like to see them operate that place more efficiently. Raise ticket prices. Do whatever you have to do. But
people will pay it. Look at the lines. People will pay more for ticket prices.
And I'd like to see the thing spun off. Metro has too much. Our government is doing too much and is incompetent at too much. Let's give this over to somebody else.
This next clip is talking about the Republican Attorney General's race. And prior to this clip, we recorded our votes. Both Amanda and I have Democratic registrations. So we both have Democratic ballots. And we voted for Dan Rayfield, who just seems far more qualified than any of the other Democratic candidates.
Just insane. The guy
the guy he's running against has law education listed on his thing, which
that can mean like a correspondence school.
Could mean he's a paralegal. I don't know, but it doesn't
law education.
It just it's seems
a criminal
like it'd be,
justice class in high school.
Doesn't it seem like that would be an unlawful practice of law be the attorney general? It doesn't seem right to me at all.
I'm suddenly dying to know if that's a prerequisite. If it's being a lawyer prerequisite at all for the attorney
and
general
if it's
job,
not,
and if it's not, why did we fix that?
What in the name of God is going on? I mean, I don't even think it matters to talk about the other ones because there's no, you know, reasonable likelihood that any of these people are going to be elected to anything in this state. So,
yeah.
Statewide,
so it's Lathrop
yeah.
and Rayfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a couple more housekeeping items before I send you off with this episode that Andy Chandler from Northwest Fresh was so gracious to assist me in recovering. I have talked to people from other counties who I trust, who I think are really great and really smart. And there are people like, you know, Ben West, Kevin Barton, various leaders in both Clackamas and Washington County. And what they think would be good picks, because I just don't know. I don't think they're endorsing, I don't know that they're endorsing anybody necessarily, but here's what I can say. In regard to Clackamas, Tina Irvine for Clackamas County Commissioner position 4. Martha Schrader for Clackamas County Commissioner position 3. 2D Smith for Clackamas County Commissioner position 1 chair. And Lynn Schoenfeld for sheriff. In regard to Washington County, the people that are, there's only a few contested races. Jason Snyder for county commissioner, Nafisa Fai for county commissioner, Caprice Massey for sheriff, that's uncontested, and Bailey for judge, that's the only contested judicial race in the metro area. Let's just get those ballots in, and I'll go ahead and launch into this episode where we go through, Amanda and I go through our ballots generally, treasurer, secretary of state, the whole deal. But we've already gone over the important ones. Also, to the extent what you're about to hear is listenable, I want to thank Andy Chandler from Northwest Fresh again. Thanks, Andy.
Hey, welcome to Rational in Portland. This is the election episode that many, many people have been asking for, where we're going to go through the ballot. I have Amanda here from last time, and I'm so excited about it. And Amanda's ballot is Northwest Portland. My ballot is Southeast. So some things are going to be a little different. You may have a different ballot depending on what quadrant you're in, but we'll just go through ours. And most of ours are going to end up being the same probably. And I can talk fluently about the candidates for county when we get there, even though they won't appear on my ballot and not all of them will appear on Amanda's ballot. And of course, we'll talk about the DA and we'll talk about state rep. And I think those are sort of the most important things. Amanda, do you want to take it away here?
Let's start with our federal congressional races. First, just in full disclosure, I think that, Kristen, you and I are both pretty centrist voters. Neither of us has voted for Trump. So just the first rep race on my ballot is the Suzanne Bonamici. She has been sending out fundraising emails as if she's got some kind of legitimate race going. I don't think she does. One of her adversaries couldn't manage to get into the voter's pamphlet. I am not at all enamored with things that Suzanne Bonamici has been doing lately, but she's the least choosy of the options. Then the next, the third district congressional race has been heating up and is really interesting. Maxine Dexter, There's only three legitimate candidates here, two are just fringe. Maxine Dexter, Sushila Jayapal, and Eddie Morales. And I don't know if people had a chance to watch them for the show. There's been a ton of money dumped into Maxine Dexter's campaign. Appears by pro-Israel groups, because the other two are just such tooks that I think that they're trying to get Maxine elected. As eerie as it is, in this group, Maxine Dexter is the centrist candidate. And that's terrifying in terms of what it says about the city, because she's, you know, very, very, very progressive, as she herself touts. But Eddie Morales just does not seem bright enough to look as a trend bus driver, much less as a congressional representative. And Sushila is being rightly criticized on all these ads on TV as having an absolutely horrific record on the Multnomah County. And she had a mission. Yeah, as you could well deserve a good record. She should have to live with and die by. And so I think that I like voting for Maxine Dexter just because it gets her the heck out of Portland and lets her go off and be a nobody in the U.S. Congress.
Agreed.
And it's sort of similar, the 5th District congressional race, Janelle Bynum versus Jamie McLeod Skinner.
And we saw Jamie McLeod Skinner pop up before. Jamie McLeod Skinner was running against Kurt Schrader, if you'll remember.
Yeah.
And we had this discussion on the last election episode. That was a great example about how Democrats just cannot get it together.
Right.
In general.
Right.
And it's certainly not at the national level. They should be cleaning up right now with Trump in the race.
Yeah.
And instead, there's all this infighting and all this garbage.
Yeah.
And they couldn't take Kurt Schrader. He was the incumbent. He was moderate.
He didn't want to know it.
So they picked the fringe left. Not that she's necessarily fringe, but the far left candidate, Jamie McLeod Skinner. And she lost to Lori Chavez Duremer. And that's what happens when you go too far.
Yep. And I think that Janelle Bynum has a small business background. She has a normal centrist understanding of the way things operate as far as Portland goes. I mean, she's not as extreme as Jamie McLeod Skinner. And so I think that the best vote is for Janelle.
I would
probably, honestly, that's a dream line.
She's a Lake District. That's who I'm going to vote for again. She's done fine.
But she's going to make Kyle Skinner's crew is the worst case scenario. And so I would support Janelle in race. So then we go on to the Secretary of State race. You know, Secretary of State does make some important decisions. I think they're most notable in this state because we don't have a deputy governor or lieutenant governor.
Right. That's how Kate Brown became governor.
Yeah. So we were to pick somebody who's, you know, I think Tobias is, he's a little bit too in bed with just the very traditional interests of the Democratic Party here. I think he's basically competent. He's worked in government. He's worked for night.
I voted for him for governor in the primary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he has some good, now he has some far left endorsements, but I will say he's got some good, more centrist endorsements, like Bubba Roberts, for example, who endorsed Pete Grabiel, who's running for state rep. And
yeah, Mike is on. He doesn't strike me as a completely inspired politician. I think he's well regarded. Tobias Reed for Secretary of State. For State Treasurer, I'm supportive of Elizabeth Steiner. I've spoken with her about, and really what the State Treasurer does is it invests purse. Elizabeth is kind of nerdy enough and focused on rate of return so that I think she's effective in that role. And I've talked with her about ESG ideas, and I'm sure there's going to be push to divest from anything having to do with Israel.
Is she Jewish?
She is.
Okay, well, that would be Hutz.
Yes.
I think it's great that she's moving on from the state legislature, much like Maxine. I think that's helpful. And then people like Pete can come on in. I think the fact that she's not part of this Gaza stuff
is a big deal. I think she's, I mean, we got to watch out for this Gaza stuff because look at what happened to PSU. I mean, these people are just capitulating right and left.
So we are Elizabeth Steiner. Next one is Attorney General. I saw Dan Rayfield speak not too terribly long ago, and it was one big progressive word salad.
But I know, but here's the thing. No, he was pivotal in recriminalizing drugs.
Agree. And he knows what he's doing. This other person, Shayna Nexo-Amarantz, looks like she's been basically, you know, in a series of low-level jobs. An attorney general is a serious enough job. You need somebody who understands the system. And I'm not by any stretch thrilled with Dan Rayfield, but it seemed better than the alternative here. Okay, so then as we go into state representative candidates.
Okay.
And that's where I came up with this to your friend Pete at that race. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so Pete Grabiel was on the podcast. He is a soccer dad, really good litigator that I know that I've worked with before. And his office is downtown. And he lives in Northwest in the middle of homelessness problems. So if you want to spend some time with him and see what you think, go back to that episode. You know, he was just here this morning taking a look at the library and looking around here in the central library area and talking about how this has got to get fixed because none of us can take our kids to the library. I mean, it's drugs and mental illness and we got to get a handle on it. The reason I think he's important is because he understands those issues because he is literally in the middle of it all the time. And so he understands that these people need some sort of intervention. He's the only person in that race who testified against 110. So,
yeah, she says in his materials that one of the things he wants to do is ban public drug use on our
exact.
Neither of the other two saying no like that. And I'm really looking just for that fundamental common sense thing of we shouldn't be able to do drugs out in public. You know, so it'd be Brian Duda. It's like he's business on this idea of a sort of the housing is the issue as opposed to drugs. And I just keep.
Yeah, another person in a medical system. And for whatever reason, even though a lot of these drug addicts and mentally ill people that end up on our streets are caught up in that medical system because it's the only place for them to go. There is this train pathology, I think, floating around out there that all we need to do is build housing and we're going to solve this. And Pete gets it. Like, he understands we can't do that. Now, Shannon looks relatively centrist because she's been in the military, but she actually went to Salem and testified against the back of Measure 110, which is really concerning to me. The majority of Portlanders, the majority of Oregonians, certainly Portlanders in that district that Pete is letting flow, we needed 110 rolled back. And there's a reason it was with that very, 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 very progressive legislature. They were basically shamed into doing it because people like Pete and Kevin Barton and all those people, Ben West, all those people went down to Salem and talked about what's going on around here. And they didn't have any choice. So anyway, my choice would be Pete Gabriel and Yath Ways.
Okay, so now let's talk about two of what I think are really the most important races that we've got going on. And the first, if you're in Multnomah County, you get to cast this vote, is on district attorney. So we're looking at Mike Schmidt versus Nathan Vasquez. I think that's the most important vote you're going to cast.
Yeah, that's right.
Honestly, so for anything, this 5-year period, I mean, it's a vitally important vote if what you care about is improving public safety in Oregon. And so what's going on out there right now is compassion. It is an absolute human tragedy. And so that's got to change. And the best way you can change that is with Nathan Vasquez. Another way you can change that is with Multnomah County Commissioner vote for Vadim Nazorski. Do you want to talk about Vadim?
Yeah. So Vadim has been on a couple of times. Go listen to his most recent episode where he talks about, you know, I asked him the question specifically, what is the point of voting for any of you, as much as I love you, like, what is the point of rallying in some sort of very enthusiastic manner against any of you when Jessica Bega Peterson is at the helm? And Sharon Myron has come on, Multnomah County Commissioner Sharon Myron, who ran against Jessica Bega Peterson for chair, has come on this podcast many, many times and said, look, there are many things I'd like to get done. I can't do it because Jessica sets the agenda and she puts anything she wants on there. And my stuff is never on there and it doesn't get voted on. So it's sort of a fiefdom, and the other commissioners literally have no control except to vote yes or no on things. The dean has some ideas. So if you go back and listen to that last episode with him, he's been on a couple of times, but the last one, he specifically talks about how, look, I'm a lawyer. I found the county charter. Now, I will say, my guess is, you know, Sharon's smart enough. She probably did read the county charter. She's very smart. But my guess is that the dean is the only one who has really studied it. And she found access to it, even though it's actually hidden. There's like a secret website he had to go to get it. And he has found some new pairs. Anyway, he's going to screw around on that. And I think that's really important. The chair has got to be challenged. And regardless, here's what we need to do. We need to vote on a slate of these people. So it needs to be the dean. I like Jessie. She's been on this podcast twice. You can listen to her last episode about being county commissioner. Vince Jones Dixon. And we got to reelect Julia Broome Edwards because she has done a great job at county. And she's, if we've got three, good. Yes, three. No, that's right.
And then four would be a dream come true, but if we got three.
Now, if we had just three, we could have pressure on the chair. This is our one chance to do it. I mean, they can really pressure her. They can hold press conferences. Can they take control? Can they throw things on the agenda? I don't know. The dean's going to try to do it. I don't really know, but that's not the point.
You think it's a big wake-up call for me. I didn't really start paying attention until I saw the city where I carried in business and where I keep my kids to return to because it's so gross. Was falling apart. And when you start digging into why is it that in recent years, certainly 9/11 has been overwhelming, but in terms of where the wheels fell off, all leads back to the Multnomah County Commission. I was disappointed to see Megan Moyer, I was too, so seems way too in bed with the union. She worked at SEIU for 7 years. She was at Disability Rights Oregon, which is a nonprofit, very progressive advocacy group, and tells me she's probably obsessed with equity, which I think is a funny concept, but taken too far is a lot of the reason for a lot of problems that we're seeing is an obsession with that.
Well, and as Tiana Tozer said, who was the lead plaintiff in the Americans with Disability Act lawsuit, she called Disability Rights Oregon before she called John DiLorenzo to represent her, and they told her to go take a hike. And in fact, they came to that hearing at city council that I was at testifying out with Tiana to get the city to accept the settlement in regard to the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act lawsuit, and pay what they needed to pay for keeping the sidewalks obstructed in violation of federal law. And Disability Rights Oregon, believe it or not, there's no one in favor of the disabled people.
It's like a mafia of political opinions. It's insane.
Yeah, so it's got to be the Dean Mazursky, Jesse Burke, or
talk about Jesse's race.
Yeah.
Is she on your ballot?
No, Julia is on my ballot.
Okay. So Jesse is another poor.
Jesse's in North Portland.
Right.
Yeah, Jesse's another normal person that we need to get onto county. And if you, here's the deal. She runs, I'm sure y'all have heard her episodes, but she runs a society, she owns it. She owns a society hotel in Old Town. It has been absolutely besieged by crime, drugs, and mental illness. Very. And she just wants some sort of intervention for people sleeping in her gutters and honestly killing each other. Like if you listen to that first episode, I mean, she talks about how a lot of these homeless people are vulnerable crime victims, and she watches them get victimized by other homeless people day after day after day. And I think it was the last episode where she talked about her commissioner race. She said, look, when people like Mike Schmidt come to the Society Hotel, I make them sit outside with me.
Yep.
Because they don't see what's going on the sidewalks, and I need them to see what I see outside. The hotel is beautiful, but I want them outside so that they can see what guests see when they come in here. And she said, I mean, frankly, it's amazing. Jesse's got one person to stay at that hotel.
And she's running for Multnomah County Commissioner seat for District 2. And her competitors are Shannon Singleton, on who were a hard social worker, just way too progressive and too much caught up in the ball thing. Yeah, and this current thinking that what we're doing and empowering the choice of fentanyl addicts is good for them and good for the community. It's Shannon Singleton, Sam Adams, and Jesse are really the contenders on that. I think Jesse, Shannon, and Sam Adams are the only ones who are realistic in the dates. My problem with Sam Adams is he was right hand for Ted Wheeler. And if you think Ted Wheeler's been great, then you think Sam Adams might be your guy. If you feel like a new direction, I think that's got to be Jesse Book.
Yeah, I don't want anybody who's getting city or county money as their main pipeline.
Yeah.
For whatever activism they're doing to get, since you're a governmental seat, where that can just continue on my dime again. Like, can we stop with that? And also, we've got Anthony Effinger writes about this, and we call it the term, what, $1 billion a year leaving Multnomah County in tax revenue? And one nice thing about having a business owner on Multnomah County is we've got somebody who understands the importance of, if you've got projects that need to be funded, they're paid by somebody. Nobody seems to be able to wrap their minds around this.
Right.
But she can do it. But she runs this hotel. And she pays into all this stuff. So I think that's important. She's also very plugged in. Like, she's head of that Old Town Neighborhood Association. She's got a great relationship with Ted Wheeler, believe it or not. I mean, she actually really does. And she was sitting on Kotek's, she was sitting on one of Kotek's committees. And then I think she had to leave because she's Nathan Vasquez's campaign manager. That was a big issue that was written up in the papers. But the point is, she's done a lot for this city and this county already out of the goodness of her heart, she just paid nothing for any of this.
Right.
So, I mean, why not toss her a couple of bullies to help us out?
Yeah, I agree. And then for District 3, we're behind Julia Brynn Edwards.
She's been instrumental in assisting Sharon Myron as being the voice of, those two were the voice of reason. There's nobody else.
Yeah. And then I do not really know a lot about the District 4 guy.
That's, so you want to go with Vince Jones Dixit.
Okay.
He's the one rational candidate in that district, and he's very plugged in with Julia, with Jesse, with all the rational. He's the only credible candidate.
Okay. TPS Measure 26-246, controversial too. Shall the district maintain teachers and renew a levy of $1 per $1,000 of assessed value for 5 years, beginning 2025? I am so flipping over Portland public schools that I can't take it. I don't know. You've got to be the biggest half-fed person in America to want to give TPS more money.
Well, and I know people who were going to vote yes on that. And they don't love PPS. They can't stand PPS. Here's the deal. Last night, there was a school board meeting, and the school board, now the focus is on junior ROTC, and they did vote. They voted that in, which I think is weird that we didn't have that anyway. I almost didn't really understand that. But they do have it. There was a Black individual who wanted it, and so they got it. I mean, I actually think if a white person wanted it, they'd be smashed into the ground. But that was one victory. Here's the deal. They killed foundations. So the people that I know that were voting...
Say more about that. Oh, people who haven't had a kid who goes to one of these things, the way the foundations work.
So you raise money. It's actually completely bizarre because it's already set up to not work super well, because 40% of whatever money you raise as a parent in Portland Public Schools for anything, for selling candy bars, a lot of us, it's auctions. So when I was growing up here in Oregon, we didn't have these things. We didn't need these things. Then, of course, they did PERS Tier 1 and it ran us into the ground. Now we have to figure out a way to, and it will until the beneficiaries of the Tier 1 people die. So it's going to take a little bit. Point is, we needed to figure out a way to fund these schools and get them the money that they need. And so we came up with these quote-unquote foundations where the schools raise money, they throw it into a pot, and then they can use it for what they want to use it for. Then 40% was siphoned off for something called all hands raised, which means it goes into a quote-unquote general fund, mostly to be used for schools that cannot raise the kind of money that schools in more affluent districts can raise, which makes sense to me, except that, look, Amanda, you and I both are familiar with the Glenn Lowry Show, the Glenn Show, the podcast, the guy who is an economist, a professor at Brown. He was trained at MIT, and he's had Bob Woodson on it. Yeah. And Robert Woodson has studied education, and he says money doesn't matter. And if you use your eyes and ears to take a look around at these Title I schools who get tons and tons of federal money dumped into them, it doesn't effing matter. They can get as much money as they want. They're still going to sell it. The ones that do better than the others, it's not because of money. It's not because they get funded more. And if you, the other interesting thing is with this all hands raised thing, it actually doesn't matter how much money the Lincoln High School fundraiser raises. Jefferson High School is to suck. I don't care if they get 40%. They're going to suck. They can't fix it with money. We've already decided that's a hard no on PPS.
Yes. I'm going to go no on any request for money from here on out until this city comes to normalcy. Not because I care so much about these individual asks. I feel like we just got to send a message to our elected officials and our community and our state that we're done. We're just done with this stuff. And they need to figure it out. They're sitting on lots of money and they need to figure it out.
The more people who leave Multnomah County and Portland, that will help. And we know as that continues, they're going to continue to ask for more money. And I think we all need to brace ourselves.
Yeah.
Those of us who are staying here and are just going to be in the end with all the cockroaches and stuff, we need to sort of brace ourselves for these measures and levies. And look, our city can't run without this. And it's like, your city is not currently running.
It's urban flood safety and water quality. Given our level of taxation, maybe you need to try the expense side of things. Maybe you need to cut some people in your agency. Maybe we need to cut people in other agencies. It seems to me that the majority of people living in Mecklenburg County work for some kind of governmental entity. And that doesn't seem right to me. That doesn't seem like that's the way that other cities function. So I'm just no.
So President was in here, and people are going to wonder what you, as a centrist, what you're thinking there.
So I voted for Marianne Williamson because I feel like it's not right to make somebody vote for Joe Biden given his physical and mental condition. But I was scared if I just left it blank that would be interpreted as a
vote for Trump,
as a pro-Hamas vote. It's just been a nationwide thing. So I voted for Marianne Williamson to signal I'm not a pro-Hamas vote. But I don't like who I'm being, like, give me a functional human being who does not have Kamala Harris as the VP candidate. My standards are so thick and low. Something is so wrong in a party system and the way that it interprets issues. And it's just so locked into the same thing a lot. So that's why I'm voting for Marianne Williamson. She frankly strikes me as a bit of poop, but you know.
I'm frankly embarrassed at how much energy I spent on Trump. And I spent every waking calorie on Donald Trump trying to figure out, I just felt like I need to know what's coming next so I can prepare myself. And if I could get that time back,
yeah,
I would have spent it rallying, doing what, honestly, people like Kevin Barton were doing and Kevin Spett, who had foresight that I didn't, rallying against 110.
Right.
Shoring up support for the police.
Yeah.
Providing education about our police department as opposed to Derek Chauvin.
Exactly.
There'd be some sort of separation between the two.
Exactly. And if we don't make these votes that we're talking about today, the city's going to be up in flames.
I think the consensus is there will be riots. I mean, that is seriously upset. And we just saw this ESU nonsense. Yeah, so somebody did an analysis of the arrests, and the analysis showed that a very small sliver of the people who were arrested were actually PSU students. That's not what this is about. PSU students actually want to use their library. I'm sure they do.
For any of you who are still listening, God bless you, seriously. And thanks to Andy Chandler for making this at all listenable. You should have heard it before, honestly. Anyway, let's get our ballots out. That's what really matters. Thanks, everybody.